Every time I hear that, and I love it as an invitation, I immediately think of the loving father and the prodigal son. And I think every day of his life, the loving father looked down that road and said, "Come home, son. Come home." I'll be preaching today from Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. You already heard the sermon with the children. And I want you to know that this is not the first time I've preached from this passage, but I also want you to know that God had laid some things on my heart this time that he never has before. And in fact, when we get all done, when I got all done, if you will, I looked at it again and God said to me, "You know what? There are some words in there that Christians don't want to hear, that Christians don't like, and that churches don't like." And so we're going to read through this passage. It's an exciting time. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and now he meets his disciples in Galilee. So we'll begin reading in Matthew 28 and verse 16. "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Pray with me for a moment. Father, I pray that the presence and power of your Holy Spirit descend on this place. Oh God, do business in the heart of each person for Jesus' sake. Amen. The message this morning is entitled, "Church as God Intends It to Be." Church as God intends it to be. You know, sometimes we don't end up doing what we intended to do. Does that ever happen to you? Carol and I have remodeled several houses. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because you can have wonderful ideas of what you're going to do until you start to tear out the old. And you know what you find? Underneath ain't what you thought it was. We did that in a house in Laurel, Mississippi. And there was a very strange hall bathroom in that house. And I looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. And I had in mind what I intended to do. And then I started to tear out the old, and I found out that what I intended to do, I couldn't do, so I did something else. And I just wonder sometimes if when God told us what he intended the church to be, it just was too hard and we decided to do something else. And so I want us to look now this morning as church as God intended it to be. Church as God intends. First of all, church as God intends operates under the authority of Christ. By the way, the word authority is one of those words that people don't like. People don't like that. How many of you reared up on your hind feet and well, you only got one set of feet, but you reared up anyway, and you said, I'm old enough to decide what I want to do myself. And immediately went out and got in trouble. I know, I had three children did that. Well, you ever have one of them say, you're not my boss anymore? I said, gee, that's okay. Where are you going to live tomorrow? Where are you going to live? People in the church don't like it because God's the authority. And we sit back and we sanctimoniously say, God is the authority in our church. And then we turn right around and run it like we want to. I had a chairman of the deacons that I loved. And in Laurel, Mississippi, he was a pulpwooder. Joe was 6'5", weighed about 265. And I mean, I didn't even figure he took a chainsaw out of the woods. I figured he just ripped the trees down. He was much of a man. And but he was slow-spoken and didn't have a lot to say. And I'll never forget his little girl, Farah. Somebody asked one time, well, who's the boss of the church? She said, my daddy. And Joel would have been the first one to tell you, Jesus is the boss of the church. I'm going to tell you anything. If you have a boss complex, you take it somewhere else. Because you're not the boss here. Jesus Christ is the authority of everything that's done in the church as God intends it to be. And so authority is one of those words. Secondly, the church as God intends it is a going church spreading the gospel. The passage, the word literally means as you are going. As you are going. That means that every day. How many of you go somewhere every day? I hear people say, oh, well, you know, I can't come to church because, well, you know, I just don't get out anymore. And I don't know, I see them at Walmart, and I see them at the restaurants, and I see them at Target, but they just can't get out anymore. A lot of people don't want to be a part of a church that's going, a church that's going. You know, there's a danger. By the way, if you're looking for a church and it's not a church that's going, don't go there. Because you know what'll happen? You'll become just as content to sit in that pew as everybody else, and pretty soon your get up and go will have got up and went. And you'll never serve the Lord if you don't go. You see, we just don't have that much that you can serve him doing right here. He said, go. He said, get out in the neighborhood. And you say, well, how do you know that was what God wanted me to do? Well, you see, the third part of it is that church that God intends embraces a worldview of evangelism. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, and he said that authority thing again. He said that when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall be my witnesses. He said, first of all, in Jerusalem, where we're standing. Secondly, in Judea, that's Polk County. Then he said, in Samaria, and that's those other folks around Polk County. And then he said, to the uttermost parts. To the uttermost parts. Carry the gospel, he said, to every nation. I got in a lot of trouble in the first Southern Baptist church I ever went to. First Baptist Church of Clinton, Mississippi. The pastor there became one of my greatest friends. In fact, he baptized Carol and I. But I was sitting in Sunday school, and you know how you do dumb things? My professor for Old Testament was, well, his teacher, his wife taught our Sunday school class. Now, if you're in a class with a husband, don't get into confrontation with his wife and expect to pass. She was talking about giving to one of our mission offerings, and she was talking about the little children and so forth, and getting teary-eyed. Well, I do too. But then I asked a foolish question. I said, you know, I've sat and I've listened and I've gotten all teary-eyed over this. I said, but what about the people here where we live? What about the people over on the south side of town? What about the people that live over there in that project? What about those folks? Should we be going there too and carrying the gospel? And you know, I said, it's pretty easy for us to open up our wallet, put on our angel wings, put something in the plate, and say, I did it, Lord! The only bad part is he said, go. Just like the children, and Simon said, Jesus said, go! And if all you do is sit, you hadn't done it. Embracing a worldview of evangelism. I don't know how many of you have ever been on an evangelistic mission trip to another country, but I promise you this, it'll change your life. You don't even have to leave the United States. You can go to another state on a mission trip. We went from Laurel, Mississippi, and took, what, 43 people from our church in Laurel to help a struggling church in Pennsylvania that was just trying to get started. I have never seen anything like the effect that that had on those that went. On those that went. And I guarantee you, you will never be the same, will you? You will never be the same. The fourth thing that the passage tells us is that the church as God intends it is in the disciple-making business. He said plainly, Jesus said, make disciples. He said, make disciples. Then he said, baptizing them and make disciples. The church needs to be in the disciple-making business. You know what the word disciple means? It comes from the word discipline, doesn't it? You see, how many of you have ever had a wild pet? A wild pet. I went on a mission trip from Mississippi to Vermont. And I worked in downtown Burlington in a street ministry with all kinds of folks that were homeless. And we went to the parks and everywhere else. And I stayed with the missionary that was working there. And he gave me his son's room. And I went in there and, do you ever just go somewhere and smelled funny? Now, I didn't know what that was, but something smelled funny. And I went in that room and I was tired. It was the first night we were there. I'd flown. I'd rode all day and then we had worked all evening. And I was ready to go to bed. And I went in there, but it did smell funny. And I finally got undressed and I got in bed and the guy stuck his head in right before I went to sleep and he said, don't let the ferret bother you. And I lifted up a little cloth beside the bed, and there he was, showing me those teeth. Do you know a ferret will bite you? Now, he may have been the pet, but I guarantee ain't nobody discipled that rascal, because he was still wild as a hog. And you know, when people come into the church and give their lives to Jesus, they don't come in and automatically take a large King James Bible in this hand and a large Baptist hymnal in this hand and sit down on the pew and smile and be content. That's not how it is. They come in and they want to bring all their ideas with them. There was a little girl one time in Bible school, and Carol and I have talked about this 100 times. And bless her heart, she had come to the Bible school, and she was in Carol's class, and she had had the kids singing different songs. And she said, "Who else has a song they'd like to sing?" The little girl put her hand up, and she waved her hand. Carol said, "Okay, what would you like to sing, honey?" She said, "All my exes live in Texas." Now, the point is simply this. When the Bible says that we should disciple people, when Jesus commands us to disciple people, to make disciples, he's talking about, first of all, the process of winning them to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus does the saving. The Holy Spirit does the convicting, but we're called to do the inviting. How many lost folks you suppose are going to just beat down the door to come and see God's not dead? I'll tell you how many. If you don't invite them, they will not come. They will not come. Secondly, we are to assimilate them into the family. You know, when God saves them, God does a miraculous thing. We as Baptists think that everybody got to look like us and smell like us and talk like us and all those things like us to be Christian. That's not true. Boy, I've seen all kinds of folks that have surrendered their lives to Jesus. And some of them look different, and some of them dress different, and they certainly worship differently. But the point is simply this: they're a part of the family of God. And we need to assimilate them into the family. They need to come in and be a part. And last, we need to grow them. How many of you that have children gave birth, brought them home, threw them on the floor, and let them fend for themselves? Man, I didn't do that when they were 17. I was still right in the middle of their life. Because you know what? I was their daddy. And I want you to know that God is our Father, and the desire of his heart is to be in the middle of everything in our lives. And as the church that God intends, we need to be in the business of growing people into that image. Fifth, and I'm going to have to hurry, the church as God intends it is a teaching church. Say, well, that's good. We've got Bible study. Do you know what's funny in church? And I've been around a long time, been Southern Baptist a long time. And the thing that amazes me is when some program that we have doesn't work, we rename it. Like that's going to be the miracle that turns it around. How many of you are old enough to remember when discipleship training was called, was it church union or... Huh? Training union. It was training union. See, I've been around long enough that I forgot all those names. Used to be training union. And then it would, I'm trying to think what it is now. I guess it's discipleship training now. They were in a meeting one time in an association, and they were all talking about the change that was coming up in the name of training union. They were going to change it to something else because nobody came. And this one old pastor, everybody was talking about different names, and this one old pastor said, well, I'll tell you what, if it don't pick up in my church, I'm going to call it off. You know, we're bad when we think about teaching. We're bad to say, well, Sunday school attracted people for a time, and so now we have to call it Bible study. And Bible study's not involving them the way we would like. And so now we call it small group, and we can call it community group, and we can, and look, I'm not finding fault. All I'm telling you is what Jesus meant, that the church that God intends is in the business of teaching people, what did Jesus say? To obey, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. If you don't teach them to obey, you haven't taught them a thing. Haven't taught them a thing. Do you know that we have scads of Bible experts among Southern Baptists sitting in the pews? They know it all. I mean, if we had a Bible trivia contest, they could win hands down. But the sad part is they've never learned to obey the Lord. Don't obey the Lord. I don't care what you know up here. If you don't obey from here, you've missed it by 18 inches. Now, it's just that simple. He said, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. I've come to the last part. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, he's not talking about the termination. He's talking about the culmination of all things, when the Lord Jesus comes and for once sets it all right, makes it just exactly the way it should be. And what he says is that I will be with you always. Church, as God intends it to be, is permeated with the abiding personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be very bold and tell you just exactly what that means. If you ever go out and you're looking for a church, and you go in that church and you sit down and you go through a worship service, and you don't in your soul sense the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in that place, get up and go. Get up and go. And I'll be bolder than that. If you worship here and you don't sense in your soul the abiding presence, the personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here, you ought to go somewhere else. I'm going to tell you something. I've done it the other way, and it's the most useless thing I've ever done. I've done it the other way. And I've been involved in the activities, and they're never ending. And I've been involved in all the deep studies, and I've been in those places that lacked the abiding personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know it's a waste of time. Now, the question is simply this. As you think about the church as God intended it to be, are you personally willing to do what it takes to be that church? Let's pray together. While the church is not a game, it's the body of the living Lord Jesus Christ. His visible presence in this world, it ought to be what you intended. Oh God, forgive us. God, forgive us when we're not submissive to your authority. God, forgive us when we sit and don't go. God, forgive us. God, forgive us when we don't reach people and disciple them, discipline them. But, oh God, most of all, forgive us for those times that we hinder the movement of the Holy Spirit in your church. God, help us. I pray this morning that each person might have a fresh and a new vision of what you intend the church to be. And more than that, I pray that hearts might be convicted to be that church. God, help us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand quietly, prayerfully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. During the invitation, every heart, every mind should be on the Lord Jesus. You don't need to sing the invitation. You need to be in prayer. Praise team will sing it. What you need to do is prepare your heart to respond to what God has said to you this morning. I invite you to step out on the first note and come to Jesus for his sake. Right.